Welcome to the Planning Board meeting, July 16th, 2025. The time is 6:30 p.m.
I'd like to call the July 16th meeting of the Candia Planning Board to order. Please rise, space the flag, and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, roll call. Judy.
Here.
Mark.
Here.
Tim.
Here.
Brian.
Here.
Linda.
Here.
Kevin.
Here.
And Dave is excused. He is a little ill this evening. Anyway, we are going to switch the agenda around just for expediency and going to put old business first. And that is Boyd, representing the select board, talking about the town properties that they're looking to sell off.
Is that ageism?
Pardon?
It could be if you want to call it that.
Put in the old business.
Call it what you want.
We have to do the old business first. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be on your way here pretty soon. Okay. The last time I appeared before this board was June 4th, at which time we presented a proposal to sell 19 properties. Public auction, and that proposal was predicated on a big mistake, and that was my failure to recognize the significance of that little tiny asterisk that followed the these little land descriptions in the town report, which indicated that they were reserved to the Conservation Commission and that not to be sold. And thankfully, David Labby picked up on that. And he provided enough documentation to convince everybody on our board that we had no right to even think about selling those properties. So that got us back, that got us down to six properties. We've since, our auctioneer has found three more that kind of got left out of the original proposal. So now we're back up to nine properties that you see right there on that map, which we propose to sell sometime this summer as soon as we get authorization, well, at least a recommendation from this board and from the Conservation Commission, and then the Board of Selectmen must convene two public hearings to hear what the public thinks about this thing, and then we can go to sale.
On June 4th, there was kind of a public hearing on this.
Yeah. We did hear
a lot
of opinion on that, okay? And I'm certain we're going to probably hear just the same opinions when Board of Selectmen convenes, okay? So here you have nine properties. They're not real. They don't have a lot of curb appeal, but each one of them has an abutter, and that abutter may be interested in buying them, okay? So this total assessed valuation is a little over $200,000 for these nine properties. That alone represents about $3,800 in tax revenue that the town of Candia is not even collecting, okay? And that goes on forever. So that's just not just 1 year. So, but if you take that $201,000 and you apply the current equalization rate to that, those properties have a fair market value in the aggregate a little over $300,000, okay? If we could sell those things at auction for a third of that number, that goes a long way towards replenishing our capital reserve account that we have established for other purposes. Okay, so that's the whole intent here. That's how we got started on this. Brian wanted to resurrect the interest in the police station. And we thought the best way to do that is for the Board of Selectmen to exercise just a little bit of initiative and go out and do a little housekeeping and get rid of these properties that are just hanging there, serving no municipal purpose, not yielding any tax revenue, and just sitting there probably forever. So that's why we decided to do this. So I leave it to this board now to make a determination of whether you think this is a valuable effort and whether any of these properties have potential for later use by the town. But it's hard to believe that a third of an acre someplace in the middle of a swamp is ever going to be of value to the town of Candia, but that's not for me to decide. It's up for this board. So,
I mean, I didn't, because we spent a lot of time the last time around, I didn't spend too much time on this because I knew there wouldn't be anything in here that was noteworthy for this board, right? Because there's only one lot of any size, and that's the bottom one there on South Road of 2 acres. But it looks like it's under a power line, or, you know, it's really skinny. It's not a buildable lot.
Right.
It's like a piece of spaghetti fell on the map.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way any of these properties would come before this board, quite honestly, I think would be lot line adjustments. I don't see anything.
Yeah, the butters want to purchase the land, sure.
Right.
I thought a big part of the reason, the push, was that we were actually delinquent or in default of some RSAs regarding the ownership of the properties and holding them unreasonable amounts of time. Was that not true?
Well, you know, our auctioneers did point that out, that when we take tax-deeded properties, when we have no right to just hold on to that thing forever, because that deprives the former owner of any value, and that property represents in excess of the amount of taxes owed. So here, I mean, a very easy example is, you know, we foreclosed our tax lien on a $100,000 piece of property because they didn't pay the property taxes. That are what, maybe owe $8,000 or $9,000 in property taxes. But that property has value beyond that $9,000 that the former owner has a right to.
Right.
So, under two Supreme Court decisions.
Right. But so, correct me if I'm wrong, you talked about, say, $200,000 in assessed value. If we sell these, the town doesn't get $200,000.
No, that's correct.
The town gets the tax.
Our taxes.
Right.
It's all we get.
Okay, the lien taxes against that value.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's right.
Plus
and
interest,
the auctioneers
right?
have to
yeah,
observe
plus the interest that was accrued, too.
What's that?
Plus the interest that was accrued.
That's right. There's and plus our interest is, that's 18% a year. And some of these accounts have been on the books for many years.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to swallow up a lot of that equity in the property.
Right.
18% compounded annually.
But is it the fact that we were delinquent in getting rid of the property? Like, is there mitigating circumstances for the owner? Like, if the owner says, you held this land hostage for 10 years, like, what happens?
That's a good question for a lawsuit, Kevin, okay? But we weren't aware of our obligation until these two Supreme Court decisions, the Polanski decision, and I can't remember the name of the other one. So we didn't really have a legal obligation to compensate the owner until those decisions. So you really can't go back to the beginning of time.
Okay.
On that.
But the interest does.
Well, but 18%, it's pretty stiff.
That adds up quick.
Now, the three properties that don't need title researches, will that be done by the town and then sold?
The auctioneer will do that.
Oh, the auctioneer.
Once we get clearance from...
They're going to do all the legwork.
Once we make the final determination that it's going to be sold,
mm-hmm.
then they'll do all that other title search. There's no point in doing it now.
No.
If this board wants to reserve it for the town, or the Conservation Commission wants to reserve it,
mm-hmm.
so they're not going to invest that kind of money into it or time.
So, for instance, like, is there a reserve on the auction? So, for Langford Road, I live on Langford Road, there's a little sliver of a piece right on the corner of Roy Road and the Raymond Line. Its assessed value is $55,000. If somebody bids $1,200, does the auctioneer take it? Or
there will be no minimum bid.
Okay.
Because that's, you know... Where do you set the minimum?
Right. I'm just asking a question.
And if we want to generate interest in this, and people are going to gamble when they go to that auction, think they can buy it for nothing, well, if they want, there's nobody competing with them, then they can have it for nothing.
Yeah, the auctioneer did say that they've sold property for $100 or $100,000.
Yeah. Because that, so, you know, that piece on Lincoln has won a butter. It's like the guy lives in Raymond, and there's a hunk on the corner that is, it's got a little shack on it, there's woods, but it's... Nobody else that I can think of would even have interest in it because it's
correct
unbuildable for anything.
I mean, I think in terms of, you know, my thought process on it is, especially since this auctioneer's going to take a bath, that the town is cleaning up its books and whatever money we get.
Totally agree.
Yep.
You know.
So, Boyd, what do you need from us?
I need you to consider this proposal, deliberate, and issue a statement to the Board of Selectmen indicating whether you support this project, if you have any reservations, or any conditions. We need your advice before we can convene a public hearing.
Just do a motion?
I make a motion that we accept Boyd's suggestion and the town's plan to put the land up to auction.
Second.
Second.
Got it? Okay, so Judy.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Tim, yes. Brian.
Yes.
Linda.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Great, okay. Let's read your minutes with Mark's motion. Then we get something from the Conservation Commission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've already deferred to the Conservation Commission on a couple of properties that we love with, okay? They're harder to deal with than you. Believe me, okay?
I've been told I'm easy, but I don't know what that means.
So, Judy, once we get your minutes of your meeting from August,
mm-hmm.
and with a similar motion, and then you send it to
yes.
the Board of Selectmen, that's the official record
yes.
of your decision, and then we can start.
Good. Thank you.
You just the minutes are okay, or do you want Megan to drop a letter that I sign? Or?
Well, maybe that would be better, Tim. Because that's a standalone document. Yeah. Same way with the Conservation
right.
Commission.
See how I volunteered, Megan? She's just been voluntold. She has to make a letter.
Voluntold.
I want to thank Megan. I'd like to thank Megan for setting the room up, making copies for everybody, and doing all that kind of, you know, work to ask them.
Yes.
She's good at it.
She's good at it. Is
that it?
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good one, Boyd.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Boyd.
Good night, Boyd.
Good night.
Okay. So, next up. Got to read the whole thing here. Case number 25-005, excavation permit application. Applicant, Stephen Willis. Under One Roof Construction, 409 Raymond Road, Candia, New Hampshire. Owner, S Squared Development, 123 Forest Drive, Auburn, New Hampshire. Property location, Deer Run Road, Candia, New Hampshire, map 408, lot 30-21A. Intent, to acquire an excavation permit for the site preparation on Deer Run Road. So, I think we discussed this at the last meeting with Linda, just to fill you in, I guess. He has purchased the Rusty Rex lot that we
right.
did a couple of years ago, and over 2 years ago now, and he was doing some excavation work and removing
fill.
Yes, you were here for that?
Okay.
Missed a meeting. You were just from the last meeting. So we don't need to go through any of that. This is the excavation permit?
Nope.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, but I think you're pretty well aware.
Oh, I'm well aware.
Yeah, he's aware.
So
we had a good discussion out in the field.
We did.
So he has provided us with a excavation permit application, and we have test pit reports and everything else. And I will let you just kind of briefly talk again, just for the minutes
yep.
about what you're doing, and then we can kind of dive in.
Do you want me to come there or stay right here, Sven?
No, you can stay right
there.
Stay
right there.
Yeah, perfect.
If you got anything you want to put up on the easel there, you can.
We've all got the...
You all on the same.
We have the copies, but...
Yeah. So, Stephen Willis, Under One Roof Construction. So, just to kind of back it up a little, I'll put it on record. We had purchased the property March 7th of this year. I am part owner of Escort Development and Under One Roof Construction. I live in town, my business is in town, and I had come down to the building department to get clearance to start on said parcel. The building inspector is no longer here in town, as I'm sure most of you know. but the road agent...
Brett, can you give me page 3?
The road agent was here as well. What I did was just try to get, you know, kind of keep you guys up to speed. Is there anything I need to do? I knew Dylan, who went through the steps, and I just wanted to make sure there was nothing I didn't know about. So I was told I was good to go without a permit. Work commenced for, I'd say, maybe... It might have been upwards of 4 weeks or so. And our plan was, and still is, to work towards the site plan of a commercially zoned building. 6,000 square foot is what it says on the plans. It's to say it's going to be an auto shop, I don't know that. I have a construction company. Do I want lifts and maybe support our stuff? Absolutely. Well, what I did know is that I need to start working towards the elevations to remove the dirt. So, obviously, as you guys know, we were shut down because of, I guess, the reclamation bond. That Megan? The reclamation bond has been sorted as of today.
We all, the appropriate parties figured it out. It will be coming to us shortly.
Oh, good.
So we've gone back and forth, and just so you guys know...
I read the reclamation bond this morning that was given to us by the insurance company, whomever, and I went, can't sign that because it said contract between the two parties. There is no contract between the two parties. So I'm glad that got figured out.
So I've learned a lot too, right? And I was having some challenges figuring out what that meant. You call insurance companies, you'd expect they're a bonding agency. They should understand the verbiage. Between Amy, her, they wanted an example. So what ended up happening was an example was provided of another project in town. That's actually not what we're looking for. We're looking for just an irrevocable line of credit, essentially, for that set amount, which is not a bond. It's just showing that we have the funds allocated. If and when something, God forbid, happened to the business, we ran out of money, we're not going to leave the town looking a mess. So that's behind us. We got that situated, which is good. My plan now is... So you have that page. This is all... I don't know if I need to put it up here. It's not going to stay.
Yeah, it's fine. We got it.
No. Number... Sorry. Got it. But it says 3 of...
3 of 12?
3 of 12.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, for grading?
Exactly.
Okay.
So these are the elevations. Would you... It would be best for me to put it up here? Mm-hmm. Are you guys are good?
We're good.
Yeah. I have a quick question, though. About the bond, when you were last here, your partner was sitting here and he was talking about bonds and that he does bonds like he knows bonds. So what happened? Like, what was the curveball?
I'll just voice it. The curveball was miscommunication amongst the town.
Okay.
It says surety bond. Actually, let me see this here.
Yeah, what I saw, Kevin, was a bond... like a contractor would have, right? So a contractor would get the contract to build something, and he would put up a surety bond that he didn't fail, that he didn't leave the job halfway through.
Okay.
That's the document I received.
That's not what we asked for?
No, because all the language in there is about the contract and the work being done and being paid for the work that's done, and the bond comes down as the work, okay?
Yeah.
So all the wording was...
I think
not appropriate.
It's like a reclamation.
Ours is a reclamation bond.
Okay.
That's what we generally have.
Right.
Like we had for up here at the 55.
Yeah.
So we had a reclamation bond.
If the wheels fall off,
the wheels fall off.
So we can restore it.
Right.
Correct.
There's money there to put it back.
And this was, you know, as the building gets built, the bond amount of the bond comes down.
They have to request a reduction, you know, based on that.
It was a surety bond, but not the right way.
Okay.
Correct. The original approval by you folks on 4/12/23 does say project completion surety bond. But what's been sorted out is it's not that. It's an irrevocable letter.
But we did provide a copy of our template, a surety bond. So your insurance company should have been able to take that and use that. We did actually provide that.
That was given to them, right?
I sent it to Valerie and to Rebecca multiple times. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. And either way, whatever happened, it is what it is. The funds are allocated. They're there. This is new to me.
You too.
And I didn't know about this stuff. In hindsight, right, when I came down here, my expectation, especially coming up front, asking them, Jeff was there. I know Jeff's not the planning board. I know Jeff's not the building inspector. But say you don't need an excavation permit to start it. You have an approved site plan. And then, you know, even dealing with the town. So I did my best practices when I started. My sweeper's still there. It has been, you know, inconvenience to us, right, with mobilizing, remobilizing, trucking screeners out of there. So really, we're just looking to get going towards this. I don't know when I can fund this project. And what I mean by that is the actual build of the building. At that point, I'll propose to you guys what building I want to put there based on this site plan.
Yeah, so yeah, and just so everybody at the table and you know, I've had this conversation with you, but I'll just state it again, right? Because Rusty Rex did not meet any of the conditions of the conditional approval, and it's been 2 years, that approval...
Null and void?
Is null, well, it's expired. Let's not use the word null and void. It's expired. So you would have to come back in for a site plan review. But if he goes with this same site plan, and it doesn't matter to us whether it's a car repair shop or a construction shop or a storage building or whatever, if it's the same site plan, we don't need to go through the whole engineering and all that stuff again. We would just sit here and say, well, we approved this 2 years ago. Is there anything here that's changed, anything that bothers us? So it would have to go through the process again, but the process would be
kind of rubber stampy,
pretty abbreviated, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is identifying the constants, right? The constants were we started digging out a landing zone so we can work, so we're not clogging up the dome. These elevations are approved by engineers, not only them, but by Stantec.
Yep.
Where the septic goes, the building. So for us, for this meeting, I guess the easier, softer way, let's call it, the excavation permit is for me to allow to extract the dirt, start to take shape, work on some of the drainage stuff here. We're going to take care of, obviously, all the erosion. At that point, we'll do SWIP inspections, whatever we need to do after rainfall. I had my PE here last time with me. So instead of me proposing something that I don't know can happen or when I can fund it, this is just allowing me to harvest the dirt, take shape, have a pad site ready.
So the way I'm looking at this plan and why he needed to provide us with a site plan for the excavation, right, how much gravel he's going to pull out of there. So this is his excavation plan for the gravel extraction. Right, that's
I think it was estimated about 20,000 yards. I think it could be a little more than that. If you look at the cut lines on this page, it shows you the 2 foot cuts as it goes up the drive.
All right.
And if you go from the town road, I think there's a pin. Let me find the elevation. I mean, the elevation down at the road is 202, right? And then if you go all the way to the back line here, at F268, that's a 66-foot difference on the parcel.
Yeah.
So it's done in stages, right? You have 2 foot cuts coming up the drive, platformed out for where the proposed building parking lot would be, and then that back hill would kind of emulate, if you look at the back of the town cabin, essentially, right? A 3-to-1 slope, erosion control. Because to cut this whole thing out, it would look like Granite Hill, and I don't want that. I mean, it's not gonna work right. So, just where we are, how we got here, and just trying to move forward with it.
So, Steve,
yes, sir.
You're proposing that you're gonna just excavate this up, and then you're gonna probably throw some seed out just so that we don't have any bad erosion after once you're done.
Correct.
And then when you go to build the building, then you guys will proceed, come back to us, and then go ahead from there.
Yeah, because, so right now, like, I have had thoughts. I came to this meeting before I bought it from him, like, well over a year ago. And I'm young, I'm in town, I want to build condos. I'm not going to lie to you guys, I do. Yeah. They're like, not a good place there, it's by the dump. And I'm like, I guess they're right. But I was trying to find value because it was across the street. Dylan works on my stuff, right? And so now, for the price point that it came to, made sense. I'm across the street. I have a track, so I own my excavators. You know, so my plan is to get it, quote unquote, pad site. What that would mean is I do own my own hydro seeder. I do have 409. I don't plan on, if anything, I plan on making parcels look better here. I don't want to leave it that way either. So that would kind of be the deal.
Well, and we would, you know, we would kind of expect that once you went dormant with extraction, right, that the town building inspector, you know, I don't know if we'll have to have a Scantec inspection or not.
Not on the 155E.
You know, I don't think so. But, you know, so well, we would definitely be having building inspector monitor that to make sure that,
of course,
it's all good.
I'm just trying. When you were here before with your engineer, and he was like a really seasoned guy who had done lots of quarry kind of stuff, right?
Yep.
I think I'm a novice at this, so I'm looking for clarification. The permit to take stuff out and prepare the site is different than like a quarrying permit, right? Or is it?
No.
Okay. Because
it's basically, it falls on MSHA.
Correct. The 155E is a gravel pit.
Okay.
Essentially, right?
Okay.
That's what that is.
Right.
A construction general would mean that I'm going to be held to this plan. I'm going to have 2 years to complete it, right? That's when Scantec would be involved. I am not prepared to expedite this build. I don't have the funds allocated to do so. So what I want to do is, I told you guys before, I'm building some houses in Deerfield. There's gravel driveway, once almost 1,200 feet. If the dirt's here, it's local, and I can start working towards this. And this could very well be a four-bay shop for under one roof with a lift where we work on our diesel trucks. And, you know, I have a lot of plans with Material Center, and I have things in mind. I don't know what it is. So really what I do know is that we need to get the dirt out of there for the site to be usable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the constant. And that's kind of why we ended up here with the 155E.
From our perspective, I don't know if quarries are covered, but basically we have the one permitting process for gravel extraction,
okay,
and that does cover blasting and stuff like that, which obviously we're not planning on you doing at this point.
So we've already, with that pad, we've found there's one knobble ledge where we're at now, and that wouldn't require blasting, by the way, but that we're going to be moving uphill. So some of the pluck boulders, we're going to have to bring a hammer on a 160 excavator and run them through a track crusher to get it out. It's just, those are just best practices for any excavation site.
Well, but, you know, just know, too, that, right, for, like, doing this kind of stuff, there is things in here about noise certain hours of the day, which I don't think is going to be a problem. You're not running this around the clock.
Yeah, I know.
Right? And if you do have to do some blasting, there, you know, the gravel excavation permit, I'd read it if you're doing blasting just to make sure you're in compliance with it.
Yeah, of course.
You know.
But going back to Kevin's question, it seems like it is different, at least in my mind, that you have one that's like Granite Hill where they're just constantly taking it out. Mm-hmm. And then in this site, it's like just removing it to prepare the site. So
right, well, that's where this is a little different situation, right? Because the gravel extraction permit process was for things like Granite Hill.
Oh,
well, that's
okay.
Their business. They're always moving out.
Right.
Just
but that's for
temporary.
Importing and exporting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
right.
Like,
what
that's
I'm saying is that, like, you know,
yeah,
this talks about you can only do 5 acres at a time, and once you do the 5 acres, you have to, you know, right, because this
reclaim
is talking
it,
about,
so
yeah, you have to reclaim
big,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this, I mean, he's not going to excavate more than 5 acres, right?
Right.
The reason I asked, though, is because I think we were over in Chester for that meeting that we went to. There was discussion about a pit over there, and they were talking about the revenue to the town due on extractions.
Yeah,
right.
We charge per
there was so
ton
much
or something.
But like, so if it's an operation like Granite Hill where they're just working to carve stuff out, there's a remittance to the town by the truckload, whatever, right?
Oh.
Does that apply to this? Or
absolutely.
Okay.
Any gravel extraction in, like, any town in New Hampshire, there's a per ton charge. That's
so even though it's his and he's moving it to his place,
you move it off property, there's a, I don't know what it is. Do you know, Megan?
This is
not
our land,
off the top
right?
of my head, but I know it's if you remove anything, no matter where it goes, you have to pay taxes on it.
And I hate being that guy that says this, but I thought that was the case.
Yep, that's the case.
That's okay, Sam. What you're referring to, I believe, is Groundhog's Pit out in Chester. There was only so many loads they could take a day out of there. And that was...
That's
what you're talking
that
about.
That was the problem they were having.
They could only get, they were super
it.
Trucking out of there, just like Mark Evans is up in Londonderry. It's the same thing. Those parcels are 200-acre sites. That is emulating Granite Hill, right? That is, they're importing. What I mean by that is they're grabbing rock off places, blasting foundationals, and they're crushing it there. It's indefinite. The 155E, in my opinion,
it's temporary.
What it's just to continue taking the stuff there, I do have plans to build the building, right? And the biggest thing is to make sure that we get our sediment basins in and to avoid nitrates into the water. So what this will do is allow me to continue working towards it, right? As someone in town, I'm not, you know, trying to build 400 low-income housing. So I think I get what you're saying. Projected 20,000 yards. How much of that is valuable, though, right? So it's glacial till. So outside of fill, I'll be honest, some of that dirt went to a house lot on Courier Road. A local guy bought it to fill that house they're doing out back of Courier Road. So it's house lot fill. I mean, what you guys are talking about with per load per ton is like...
It was a question because I don't know, right?
No, I didn't. I just want to clarify because I'm familiar with that. Okay. I'm actually good friends with the Evans family. Is spec gravel. So when gravel starts meeting spec, it goes through a sieve analysis that's like DOT spec. I know you do construction, right? So when you start bringing in, that's worth some money. Right?
I might have some family members that are in the excavation business.
Got it. So yeah, but what I was just saying, so I knew you... You know,
but by state law, right, there is a per ton charge, and I think it's like pennies a ton or something. It's not.
Yeah, it's not a big money.
It's not going to help our budget.
that's not what it's.
Those are still going for auction.
We opened a can of worms that was going to be problematic. Right?
No, I appreciate you bringing that up because to be honest, I didn't expect that there, and I'm glad you asked the question.
There is a per ton charge.
I think it's very similar. I got a timber tax bill when I cleared Gary Samore and cleared my stuff. Right? It's marginal.
Yeah, it's marginal.
But, you know, so
it's off time. Who checks on that? Who checks up on the tonnage that's being hauled out?
The engineers will have that figured out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then they go by what the test pitting is and all that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, basically.
So they figure out what it is. If it's bank run.
He's supposed to report to us.
That's one thing.
Okay.
Correct. When you start hitting spec,
and
then you start breaking down and selling erosion stone, 3-inch down to 3/4, we start hitting like 304/4. There's certain gravels that work to build state roads. And every truck will be lining up out there for me to fill them if that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this is.
Yeah.
That's where there was some problems in Chester because of access to that pit. But I think
it's embarrassing how much I don't know.
Well, it's crazy how much I've learned.
So the other thing is, so realistically, though, to kind of answer what you said, the original topo, I think, is page 1, right? So it shows, like, what the elevations are and what they're proposed to be. So there's obviously calculators that let you know how much had to be removed and then how much has to be imported to hit. Right, density,
parking lot, such. Kevin, though, we are going to limit him to excavating through this plan because this is the plan he's come in, so we pretty much know how much gravel he's going to take out there. It is an honor system where you're supposed to report, I think, monthly or something like that. We'll have to look at
it. I just pulled it up. It's RSA 72B. It's 0.02 cents per cubic yard, and it says that the owner shall furnish to the assessing officials for the jurisdiction in which the excavation is located. The assessing officials may require to determine the area constituting the taxable excavation. So I would probably contact the assessing firm that we use. The assessor's in every Wednesday. He might be able to lead you in the right direction.
So, yeah, so it sounds like, I mean, that's...
Is it 2 cents or 0.02
cents? 0.02
cents.
So it's a big...
$400.
Oh, sorry.
All right, I'll cut you a check tonight. Let's move.
I knew it was no money.
I didn't know that. Right?
I knew that it was hardly worth the effort to go through.
Yeah, you're like,
yeah.
That's the law.
Yeah, got it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's fine. If you want to put it down as a conditional approval, that...
Well, we don't need to put it as a conditional approval because it's in the regulation.
Oh, cool.
And it's in the state law, so... You don't do it, we're going to come after you.
Perfect. You know where to find me.
Yeah,
we do.
So does Mark.
I was just the only one available that day.
I know. And you know what? It was, it's all good.
Yeah.
We're here, behind us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it is what it is. I learned some stuff along the way. It sounds like everyone else here did.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So
we learned. I mean, you know, a couple of you might have done excavation permits in the past, but I think most of us have never done one of these before. So it's a
nope.
So
I don't think I've never done one here.
Because
that was the quarry was before me.
We did have them in though, and had a big binder full of stuff for the reclamation plan. So we got into that a little bit.
And so we do have the test pit report, too.
Well, that was with the selectmen, so it's...
This was already presented as part of the development process, you know, of the original site plan review. So we need to have it for our records, but I don't think it's anything. If we approved it and Stantec approved it, we're good.
So what do we have to do tonight?
Well, what I want to do, though, is I just want to go through. I went through the site plan, excavation rigs here. And I use my cool, brand new iPad with a pen, and I got to highlight things. So bear with me as I'm scrolling to the bottom. I'm just using it. I got my finger.
Grip.
Yeah, I got my fingers here. Okay, so let's. It's a 30-page document, Stephen. I do suggest you kind of at least cruise through it, right? The one thing because I know what your schedule, you know, what your plan is here, that I did highlight was section 6 on abandoned excavations.
Mm-hmm.
So if you stop hauling for a 2-year period, we're going to determine it's abandoned and require you to reclaim it.
We're going to take the reclaim, the revocable line
right,
credit.
Right.
Wouldn't that back that up?
Yeah, yes. No, it would. I'm just saying. So when you're done excavating, you're going to have a 2-year window to start building. Or
deal. My plan would be to, when I'm done excavating, right, which I don't anticipate to be this year, in all honesty, we got 2 single families going in Deerfield. We do have a 24-acre next year. So I would say probably about a solid year.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
If I could get concrete in before, you know, winter of 26, then we'd be in good shape.
Yeah, I'm not saying any of this to be a dick. I'm just saying it because I want to give you fair warning. We're going to talk about
it. I didn't take it that way.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
that'll be 2 years from when we issue the permit. Right?
No, 2 years from when he stops extracting.
Okay.
So if you see
that, gives you some time.
Yeah. If you see it vacant, you know, is what that
right.
I'm right across the street.
Yeah.
So I got to make that place pretty first. The siding's falling off. That's nice.
So.
Is that a tree farming plan?
Yeah, I put in Christmas trees. 1,200.
Oh, I was wondering what that was. My husband and I drive by all the time.
It was all bull pine, and I had one take out the ridge. I rebent the metal. Then one took off some of the fascia, big limbs. They were right up on it. It was an elderly couple that had it. I bought it as is. It was everything still in it. Good guy, actually. S. Gill, his name's around. But, so,
they're
I wanted the trees
wall.
Gone.
The wall today, they were dying.
Gil Estee.
Gilbert Estee.
You know what? Yeah. Funny guy.
Yeah, I went to school with him.
We're putting the wall in now up front.
Yeah.
And we just applied for a permit for our sign. So that wall is going to have a nice contour, keeping it 45 inches off finished grade. It's below 4 feet.
Since we've kind of gone there.
Sure.
Just to lay out, you know, kind of what you're doing and stuff, right? Like, so far, everything's good. But I want to put this out there because I don't want it to get us into a point where somebody's pulling up in a truck and handing you a nasty note, right?
Yeah, I don't want that either.
So, it's zoned commercial, so you don't need a site plan review. If you're keeping the house and all that stuff, you don't need a site plan review. But at some point, if you're doing a lot more work and you're putting in a big parking lot or
AOT,
something like that, right? Anything, you know. So, if you want to share with us, like with Amy, Megan, and I, what your kind of plan is, even if it's a sketch on a napkin or whatever, just so we can tell you, you know, I don't want you to cross the line and suddenly have a problem. I'd rather just us have a conversation and figure out whether you're going to need us.
You want to do that now?
Well, why don't we do this one first?
Okay.
Okay. Just to keep it consistent, but that's just
For right now, nothing's happening back there. There's one stretch of trees I didn't take down. If I do a metal building, it'll be proposed, drawn, whether I use FEA or whatever.
Okay.
So I know most of the rigs.
We'll loop back around to that.
Cool.
So section 7, and this is things we need to talk about. Prohibited projects. Excavation within 25 feet of the property boundary. An excavation within 200 feet of existing public water source or 100 feet of existing community water source. I don't think either one of those apply, but I wanted to highlight them.
Yep.
you have this? You must, Steve, do you have this document?
I don't have that document.
I can give him my copy because I've got it electronic.
Oh, he's got it. Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
That Johnny guy you met, the engineer guy, he already, I have it at my office,
okay.
But I didn't bring it because this is when we planned out what was the best action.
So yeah, page 8, section 7.
Okay.
All right. So I don't believe that's a problem because we went through this and we did the site plan review.
Yep.
And if you're excavating to this site plan review, we wouldn't have let you do anything within 25 feet.
Yeah.
Okay. But again, I just wanted to.
Yeah, the plans must be drawn to this because we approved them through Stantec.
And another thing, which again, if you're just making that flat landing, not a problem, but no excavation shall be permitted below road level within 50 feet of a town road. Again, I don't think it's a problem, but I just kind of wanted to.
He's on a hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But, you know.
Unless I had some
if you catch sand. If you catch a nice vein of gravel within 50 feet of the road, don't be digging down 30 feet to go get it.
Yeah. No, it's too small for that. You know, there's not a lot of value on a small parcel. It has to be big, and it has to go from a machine into a truck to make money on dirt, parts of dirt. It's just the reality.
Yep. And buffers within 50 feet surrounding streets. I mean, you've got to excavate to that road anyway. Just because of what you're doing. So that doesn't really apply. There was something I had here. Yeah, I already talked about that one. Okay, so, yeah, the performance guarantee, which we're already working on. Guarantee. I made notes on something like that. Oh, yeah. So, again, I think I said it already, but, you know, we need to have an excavation plan, but we're using this plan as our excavation plan. And I think there was one more that I made. Reclamation plan. So, basically, the reclamation plan is what are you going to do when you're done excavating? But I think we can all agree that his excavation plan is to build the building. Right. I mean, your reclamation plan when you're done excavating is to build the building.
Correct.
Just say yes.
Yes. Yes.
The minutes don't catch nodding of heads.
Yeah, I got it. Got it.
I'm not going to worry about this, routes to be utilized and types of vehicles to be utilized. I mean, maybe you could speak to that. What trucks are going to be, is it 10-wheeler or?
Triaxle dump. Or my 6-wheeler. That's all I got. Those are the two big trucks I have.
And you're going right on a state road.
There you go. We've already worked with Jeff.
Yep.
We already had a mishap pulling out of there. Tailgate swung open. We had to get new latches. We clean it up right away. Like, things happen, right? But there's not going to be trailer dumps in and out of there blocking up the dump. I spoke with Chuck. I just had a low boy there today. So we communicate with him about what's going on. And that was my priority, really, right? To come here, which didn't work the way I wanted to, and then chat with the neighbors. So
those are all the notes, all the things I kind of highlighted from the regs. So I don't know if anybody's got anything else. In terms of conditions we'd need to put on it, obviously the reclamation bond being completed and provided to the town.
Yeah, that's the biggest surety right there.
I think so. Considering that road, I'm playing devil's advocate here. Do we want to limit it to triaxles?
No, I don't.
Yeah, again,
I mean, that's all he's got.
I'm just trying to bigger.
Trailer dumps.
Trailer dumps.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here, trying to think of anything.
Too tight for that. no one's backing a trailer dump.
No.
Not with the sediment basins where they're
not. Yeah.
But just be fair to say.
Yeah, no, I
can't see somebody putting a trailer dump in that.
They'll tell you, no way.
You'd have to go into the gate and then try to monkey it around. And it's.
And those truck drivers, they'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to think of anything else that we need to think of.
I don't know what I don't know.
I'm with you, Kevin.
I'm just glad that he's willing to prep it up so it helps with any erosion.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and from what I can tell, because I get down and visit Nick and Joe on a regular basis, from what I can tell, erosion hasn't been a problem at all. It must all be. And once we get it,
when we first started it, there's a lot of water that come out of that hill.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually it's clay based. So what's down there is not great.
Yeah.
Good material.
Candy of dirt. You can dig two holes 5 feet apart, fill one, it'll stay full.
The front of 409 is beautiful sand.
Mm-hmm.
I could level that house and dig up all the sand. I mean, it's beautiful. You know, it's crazy, the difference.
Yeah.
Right across the street.
Right. So, and I don't think we need StanTech involved because that's not anything. So I think...
So what do we motion?
To... approve the excavation permit for this project.
I'll make a motion that we approve an excavation permit for this project.
I'll second.
With the condition of the surety bond being provided.
Yes, cited.
And Mark seconds. Judy.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Tim, yes. Brian.
Yes.
Linda.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Okay. So now we can talk about across the street if you want.
Yep.
Just, again.
Hold on a minute.
Peter,
I drank the coffee. Go ahead. Now you're good. Take your time.
All right. I'm going to set the watch.
Just go ahead.
But, as I said, I wasn't looking at it going, this is a problem. I was just looking at it going, how much farther is he going to go? And let's figure that out so we know what, if any, permits you may need.
You got a lot of big trees come down in there.
Huge.
How deep is it? Like, how many acres is that?
8.5.
Oh, it is?
It's 8.5. It was actually two parcels at once. It was a hayfield in the back. It was a 4.5 and a 4.
Is it a hayfield back there?
It was, at one time.
At one
time. It actually had an easement. So the story behind the property is there's an easement through the back. Gil made sure they moved the rock. You could drive out through the horse farm. So they used to access that hay field from Criddle Hill.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So that parcel had an easement through 17 Criddle Hill, which I've now acquired.
Oh.
So I actually own 17 Criddle Hill. So I'm butting most of that parcel, by the way. The plan was remodel the inside. That whole house is completely done. I dealt with Bob Dunham. I just asked her about Bob, just what the transition was looking like. The plans are eventually for it to be our design center. And I just got that wall block. I got half of the block from Bellegarde for nothing, 10% off the rest. The siding types we're going to do, I'm not going to go with a bunch of different colors, but I'm going to go with different styles. So you're going to see over the full roof line, cedar impressions. Or board and batten, clapboards. So Lansing or whoever's going to fight it out, I'm going to get the best price for clapboards. So eventually, the plan is that's under one roof's home. Out back, that field is, my plan is to have, well, I already have bins back there, material bins. So we service, or we have our own material. There's a stretch behind the existing barn that's pretty flat. The rest of it's probably at, I don't know, maybe 15% grade. So it drops off where I already cleared where the Christmas trees are. Where a metal building could go down the road is what I envisioned. So when I had Gary Sanborn pull the logging permit, we already have the road going back that went to the hayfield. That's going to be a drive-in, drive-out. I got the state permit for that other exit where the logging entrance is now. And the line of sight is tremendous there.
And this is on 27.
Correct.
Right?
As opposed to coming down that driveway, once you bridge that gap, you can see, because coming out of there is tough, out of the driveway access. So the plan is for it to be kind of a one-way thing, but that's where my office is, office staff, Brett's operations manager. That's the plan. Right now we're putting that wall in. There's a half moon going up there. I'm doing the granite mailbox post. Cooper's going to pave it when I'm ready. I'm putting a sign, 40 square foot sign, under one roof logo. And really we're trying to get out of, when it comes to building, I don't like doing custom builds. I want to do, if a client wants to look at a different trim package, they can come inside my place. You want to see what quartz countertops look like, here you go. Have sample boards. So that's kind of the deal.
So there won't be any vehicle traffic going down Cradle Hill to the business at all?
No.
No, it's all going to be
it's
from
all
27.
Isolated to 27. It'll be drive in, drive out. It's actually, it's going to be a good design. I have kids. I get 3 daughters. My youngest is 3. I bought a 1954 Farmall Super C, and I got a hay wagon. It's about to go out. So if you noticed where I planted the trees, I only planted grass there for now. A white fence is separating that. We're putting out our Cradle Hill. I'm raising beef out back. I got pigs. I got 50 chickens, our eggs, our garden. The old hay wagon's going out there. Shady Hill Nursery. I'm going to have plants, hangers for sale. We're going to do mums in the fall. And then pre-cuts, starting brick and mortar for some trees to support my farm. Cradle Hill Farm, 17 acres, 10 stall horse barn. So that's kind of the vision.
So you're back up to Paul Croteau's?
Yeah, exactly. Correct. Yeah. That other field goes back. That's actually 2 parcels. But one.
Two, like you have like a showroom almost in your building. Okay.
Yeah.
We have to have additional, like how much parking?
So right now there's 4 spots. But that's right up front.
Right.
I have, it's going to be not a town spec road because it's not going to be traveled by the town.
Right.
But I'm going to gravel that all the way. I'm paving out back past the fence. And my plan is to pave out past the barn because of dust control.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that stinks about having dirt roads. You know, you can keep the wind, it finds its way in the house. So you'll pave coming up. There'll be a one-way sign.
Really, now, are you going to stay living in the house? Or?
I don't, no.
No.
No. No, no, definitely not. That would not be the plan.
Because that would require a permit.
Yeah.
Or a ZBA.
Yeah.
Cool. Again, trying not to have any surprises.
For sure. So when it comes, if we want to go like a phase two of building a building, and it's say like, I have long-term visions, I'm an electrician by trade, so they'll be under one roof electrical. You know, I have a bunch of carpenters that do hardscape. So each division could have their own bay. I rented in Auburn before I moved here, and I had 2,400 square feet of shop space, kind of what they built across from Dillon's. Or custom 603.
Contel. Yeah.
There you go. Exactly. That's what I could see on that property, but really with a mezzanine for my service manager for that division. Corporate software, if that makes sense.
You got anything?
I started with an $1,800 pickup truck. We turned 4 in April.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, it's happening quickly.
Business is good.
Yeah. On the straight and narrow for once.
Yeah. All right. You're all set.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey. Appreciate it.
Good luck.
And this is Brett. He's a man of many words.
Yeah. Yes. Well, next time, Brett, don't talk to him.
Yeah, right.
Tim Slater. Brian.
He's an action man.
That's what if I needed an email, he would have found it. And he's good at that.
Next time, pay me.
Thank
you. 96,
it's like up the hill.
Oh,
falls, behind us.
Oh, yeah. I'll be here.
Those are my cows that were out. The look, like, those are, I just got them. That was my first time on the cows.
Oh, okay.
Oh, did one get loose?
3. My first 3 cows I ever bought. They're weaned. They ran right through the fence looking for mama the first night. They ended up at the lady on Langford's house.
Yes.
Wendy? Is it Wendy? You go up Langford,
yeah.
Right into Raymond on the right, right after Roy. She's got that little farm on the power lines.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're learning
a lot. Yeah.
Kids like it. People visit. All right, have a good night. Megan,
take care.
See you.
Christmas trees. We were betting it was wine.
Yeah. And so, you know, that...
It looked like Christmas trees to me.
I thought it was Christmas trees, yeah. But, you know, and that's agriculture, and all the stuff he's talking about is agriculture, so that's, you know, site plan, do what you want.
Right.
I'll have to think about everything else he's doing, but it seems so far that I don't think there's a permit site plan review at this point. But we'll keep an eye on it.
Other stuff?
No, we got to do minutes. And there was one thing I wanted to add into this, and I didn't highlight it, so I'm kind of lost. Under Bob Carr's section.
His started at the... 75.
I think I'm looking at like line 95 here, because basically it just said that, you know, that he was going to maintain possession of it. But we need to put in there that the road and the barn and the entirety of the barn are, what's the term they had?
Exempt?
Now, the, like private property, the, you know, are the responsibility put for unit, the owner of unit 7.
Okay, yep.
Right?
It's not intended to be rented out for personal use, but,
no, but, like
but just put that in. As
yeah, but we got to put that in there because the personal use of the owner, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, right? Because in a condo association, usually all the common areas are,
right,
and, the exterior is part of the condo association, but they specifically in their condo association thing have said the road and the entirety of the barn structure is the responsibility of the owner of unit 7.
Would you like me to just then rephrase starting at the end of line 96? Do you want me to make that sentence like just more specific and add in
Well, it will be it will be it will be included in the HO.
You can have it like that, right? Personal
well,
use
the,
by
in the it'll just be
of
will be with,
personal
yeah,
use, comma, and the responsibility of.
Well, it says here, and will be the owner's full responsibility.
The,
just
owner,
put the owner
of unit
7.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Mark
said,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's
I
not
you, man.
That's not really what was said at the meeting, but the minutes. But that would be something that we would have to tell him for the HOA.
Yeah, that's going to have to, we're going to check the HOA when we get it. Actually, I think we've got it. We got to get, Megan, I think we need to get back at that, right? Didn't we get a copy of that from?
Yep, Mike? And Mike Courtney sent a couple edits back, and that's kind of where it has stayed.
Okay, cool. So as soon as we get that back, I'll
because it's not a correction to the minutes, correct?
Well, because...
We didn't talk about that response.
I think
no,
we
did.
Well,
we
did talk about it.
Did.
Just that he wants a little more clarity on it.
Yeah, I just because that was the phrase that he used that made me trigger and go.
Okay.
Yes,
it's
okay.
Okay.
I think it is really part of it.
Yeah.
Right, because he could sell it off in the future.
Right.
The ownership of the property, so he would want that responsibility to go to that next owner.
Right.
Correct.
Unit 7.
Right.
Yep.
That was my only edit. I don't do grammar though.
I went to Candy and Moore School and it was drilled into me: do good grammar.
Do good grammar.
Oh, Sister Maria Daubert tried.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, I have a question. Then the second sentence: maintenance of the road and the entirety of the barn will not be included in the HOA.
It actually will be included in the HOA.
It will be. Okay. But at that point in time, we didn't
say that. Yeah, we got to get rid of not. Will be included in the HOA.
Okay.
97?
Okay.
Yeah, 97.
I think...
But will be the full responsibility of the owner of Unit 7.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I think...
Maintenance of the road and the entirety of the will be included in the HOA, the owner's...
I can make that clear. I think I meant it like it won't be the responsibility of the HOA, so I can...
Yeah, you know what I'm trying to get across.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
run into Donetta Morse, you can tell her I paid attention in her English class.
I know, because once in a while I see her at the retiree lunch, and I don't really know her personally, but
yeah.
I know her through that.
She was my English teacher.
Okay.
Make a motion.
Motion to accept those minutes as corrected.
Sounds good. Second.
Second.
And in a second. Okay, so we're going to go backwards. Kevin.
Yes.
Linda.
Yes.
Brian.
Abstain.
Yes.
Abstain. Tim, yes. Mark.
Abstain.
And Judy.
Yes.
We got four. We're good.
I think that's the first time I abstain.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a long time. I got to be honest. I have been just crazy busy between work.
Motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
Second.
You didn't have to elaborate.
I was hoping, oh my goodness. Perfect.